Scientists this week are getting their first up-close look ever at a massive Antarctic glacier that could play a big role in global sea level rise. The researchers are aboard the icebreaker Nathaniel B. Palmer, and the world's own Carolyn Beeler is with them. We've been checking in with Carolyn throughout the Palmer's two-month expedition, and we've got her on the line again today. Carolyn, the ship reached the Thwaites Glacier last week. You told us then it was the first time anyone had actually been there and seen it up close like that. So what has the crew been up to now that they're finally there?
So after I checked in last week, some weather blew in and we had wind gusts up to like 70 miles an hour, I think. They were, you know, picking up the waves and blowing them around. And it was really hard to stand up, in fact. So we had to turn away from the glacier for a little while. But now we're back. It's not any warmer. It's about negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit with the wind chill. But all the science teams are really busy with their research. And as we go back and forth along the face of floating ice shelf of Thwaites, everyone here who's seen an ice shelf before is commenting on how strange it looks.
So it doesn't look like ice shelves I've seen before. This one looks like big icebergs and ice cubes just frozen together. It looks very chaotic.
So he says the glacier looks very chaotic. I mean, what does chaotic look like for a glacier? And does that worry him?
Yeah, so instead of this sheer cliff of ice, the sheet is sort of sloping down into the sea. There's a lot of fractures and it's looking just like very jumbled up. And yeah, that is a sign of the instability of this ice sheet. And it's what the scientists are down here to learn more about.
One thing that was happening earlier in the voyage, Carolyn, some of the researchers were tagging seals with sensors to track ocean temperatures and gather other data near the Thwaites Glacier. So now that the scientists are at Thwaites, what else are they doing?
Well, scientists think that Thwaites is melting and destabilizing primarily because warmer ocean water is reaching the floating underside of it. So they know that this warmer, saltier water is here, but they don't know how much heat exactly it's bringing to the face of Thwaites, or if it's been around for a long time, or if it's largely been brought by changing wind patterns linked to climate change. So on this cruise, scientists are measuring water temperature and salinity right in front of Thwaites and looking at these troughs in the seabed to see how much this warm water is sort of getting piped in under the floating edge of the glacier. And one of the coolest new scientific toys that they have on board to help study this is this unmanned submarine that's about the length of a shipping container and has something like 20 different sensors on it. And a few days ago, I got to go hang out with the Swedish oceanographer who's in charge of this submarine while she oversaw its first mission here in front of Thwaites Glacier.
All right.
She's a very temperamental lady.
Watching the University of Gothenburg's Anna Volin wait for her automated submarine to surface is like watching a nervous parent wait for a teenager to come back from a night out.
Can it up transducer?
Volin's pacing back and forth on the bridge of the Palmer and talking to her team on a radio.
Yeah, you guys at the surface at the recovery position.
When she finally gets word that the sub has surfaced from its 13-hour mission, she grabs binoculars to try to spot the bright orange sub called Hugin.
Okay, Hugin is in the surface.
And heads to the front windows to look at a patch of gray sea crowded by floating ice.
Dead ahead, is it?
Yeah, got it.
Have you? Well done.
Volin finally relaxes when she spots a sliver of orange just below the surface. Her team just got the sub last year, and this expedition is its first time in polar waters. But Volin's been working toward this mission to survey the seafloor near Thwaites for 7 years.
When we applied for the money, this was the dream. Thwaites and the West Antarctic ice shelf. We made this case. We said that it's the only way to explore under floating ice shelves.
Exploring under the ice shelf is key to understanding what's going on here as warm ocean water melts Thwaites. But even after getting the money to buy the Hugin and bring it down here, there were kinks to work out. Bad weather, delays. So it looked like actually sending it under the glacier wasn't going to happen this trip. Until this moment, up on the bridge, when Volin turned away from her binoculars and the sea to tell me this.
We actually took a little tour underneath Thwaites. We didn't want to tell anyone beforehand, but we have done it now.
Really?
Yes, yes.
It went under?
Yeah.
That's huge, Anna.
Yes. This ship was the first to go underneath Thwaites ice shelf. This cruise, yeah, historical.
Let's hope this spot, you know.
Yeah. Volin's team doesn't know yet what the Hugin actually saw, but down on the back deck, researcher Alexandra Mazur is beaming as she helps resecure the submarine after it comes back.
Alexandra, you can't stop smiling.
Yeah, because it was a very, I think, successful mission. Everything went as planned. She communicated. She surfaced. Recovery was perfect. Very good mission.
It's been snowing, and the Hugin team has a quick snowball fight to celebrate.
Yes.
Then they hose the seawater off the sub and remove a panel to download the data it collected.
This is the ice shelf.
The next morning, some images from the Hugin's dive to the seafloor in front of Thwaites are up on Mazur's computer.
We found some very strange features. When I see that, it looks like a tank has been driving across the seafloor.
Half the scientists on the ship are crammed into a corner of the lab, puzzling over what the strange ridges might tell them about the glacier's past. The Hugin can capture features that are invisible to other instruments on the ship.
It changes the view of the seafloor massively. You just see a whole world of new stuff.
This first glimpse of the highly detailed data from the Hugin is wowing geophysicist Ali Graham and sedimentologist Becky Manzoni.
It's like I've been blind all my life, and now I've put on glasses, and I can see every individual leaf on the tree, you know? It's beautiful.
Most of the data the Hugin collected on its first Thwaites mission still need to be analyzed, and there are more missions to come on this voyage. But whatever other discoveries it turns up, Anna Volin is convinced autonomous vehicles like this one are part of the key to better understanding and protecting Antarctica.
The world's Carolyn Beeler there aboard the Nathaniel B. Palmer in the sea off of Antarctica's Thwaites Glacier. Carolyn's back with us. And before I let you go, Carolyn, a quick question about the Hugin from a listener. His name is Jason Seelaff. He's from Ann Arbor and listens to us on Michigan Radio. And he wants to know what kind of testing the Hugin had to undergo before it could go under the ice shelf.
There were some technical things like getting the buoyancy right for these waters, but mostly the issue was how to safely deploy and recover the submarine in conditions that change really quickly down here. So how to make sure it doesn't surface under sea ice that's rapidly forming down here as we head into fall, and when it's too wavy for it to be safely recovered.
That's the world's Carolyn Beeler aboard the icebreaker Nathaniel B. Palmer way down under. Carolyn, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Marco.
And if you've got a question for Carolyn about the Thwaites Glacier and climate change in the Antarctic, send it along. The address is myworld@theworld.org. Also, if you want to see the Hugin, we've got photos of the sub and the Palmer's crew there at theworld.org. We come to you from the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH here in Boston. I'm Marco Werman. Thanks for listening.